My name is Emily Hines, and I attend Houston City Council meetings and take notes. Today's episode covers the meeting on June 2nd, 2021. Before we get started, this was the first in-person meeting since the pandemic began, and most council members were in the council chamber, with Councilmember Abby Kamen of District C calling in from home. I also watched virtually. I did not go to the council chamber, just to clarify. There were some extreme technical difficulties, perhaps due to this hybrid meeting, which unfortunately meant that I could not hear any of Financial Director Tantri Emo's report. After her report, Mayor Turner highlighted one aspect. There are some shenanigans going on in the Texas legislature that would affect our revenue cap and penalize Texas cities that decrease their police budgets. I am not 100% clear on these machinations, but Mayor Turner pointed to them as having a major impact on our budget. I would point to some further recommended reading, but frankly, can't find any. Now, the mayor's report. Mayor Turner cautioned Houston to remain vigilant during this wet week and said climate change can make any weather turn nasty quick. Hurricane season started this week. It's a good idea to just go ahead and get prepped. It is Junk Waste Month, which Mayor Turner quickly pointed out is an awareness title and does not mean put out your junk waste all month, LOL. You can find your junk waste schedule at houstontx.gov/solidwaste. Mayor Turner also reminded everyone that council voted to increase the maximum fine for illegal dumping to $4,000. So if you gotta do it, don't get caught. Free vaccines are ongoing. Please, please go get it done. The July 4th Freedom Over Texas event will be mostly virtual, except for the fireworks at Eleanor Tinsley Park, which Houstonians are welcome to attend. And lastly, it is Pride Month, but sadly, there will be no parade. Let's move on to the public speakers. I recorded 11 public speakers, but there were many, many more signed up that either didn't show up or were having technical difficulties, which has happened to me and others that I know. All public speakers were virtual. Also want to note that usually public speakers are on Tuesday in a separate meeting, but were combined this week. Here's the breakdown by topic. Two speakers voiced support for CM Kamen's multifamily residence or apartments, recycling budget amendment. One speaker who was an ambulance operator experiencing delay getting their LOA signed. One speaker complained about vagrants in Near North Side. One speaker was worried about crime increasing in Near North Side once the Elysian Bridge is complete and wants more police in the area. She told Mayor Turner, "You're my favorite mayor and favorite patron of the arts," which he liked a lot. They also praised the mental health diversion programs for 911 calls. One speaker advocated for Rice Management District of the Ion in Midtown to have a community benefits agreement with the Houston Coalition for Equitable Development without displacement. And on a personal note, I support this too. Two speakers voiced a need for more funding for homeless initiatives. One speaker advocated for the Houston Fire Department pay raise, and two speakers were defund/reallocation advocates. And now, here it is. Here we go. The big kahuna, the budget vote. The $5.1 billion budget for fiscal year 2022, which begins on June 1st, passed this week. Only Councilmember at-large Mike Knox officially voted against it, although Councilmember at-large Letitia Plummer said after the vote that she didn't know what was occurring and attempted to change her vote to a no, but was unsuccessful. Some highlights. We have $304 million coming to us from the Federal American Rescue Plan Act, or ARPA. There are limitations to how this money can be spent, of course, and it must be spent within 2 years. The city is using approximately $209 million to balance this budget and then will reserve the remainder. Firefighters are getting a pay raise, but it is still a very contentious issue. They will get a 6% increase now using ARPA funds, and the mayor has promised two additional increases of 6% each over the next two budget cycles to eventually reach 18%. The Firefighters Union doesn't like the solution as there has been no successful collective bargaining process and doesn't like that ARPA funds are funding it, which could make it a temporary fix. Several council members agree with this point. This is a quote from the Houston Chronicle. The fire department's $535 million budget increased $29 million this year, or about 5.8%. The police department, too, will receive a large increase in cash with another $30.7 million, bringing its coffers to $955.8 million. The administration said that hike is due to one-time adjustments, mostly restoring funds that were covered by federal aid last year, contractual changes, including a 2% raise for police officers, and an extra cadet class. But there's also $2.5 million in cuts to vacant civilian positions. And next, here are a few of the budget amendments, of which there were many. But first, I'll give a little background. After the mayor released his proposed budget, there were a couple of weeks of budget workshops hosted by the Budget and Fiscal Affairs Committee, and there was a public hearing. Council members were able to submit amendment proposals last week, which were publicly reviewed and discussed at this week's vote. There were around 100 amendments proposed, and going over them all took up the majority of the 8.5 hour long meeting. It is difficult, to say the least, for CMs to get items on the regular agenda due to our strong mayor system. So it was my impression that many CMs were using this budget process as a way to promote their individual agendas. Most proposed amendments were not approved and instead were sent to committee, which is one step forward in the process that they might not have otherwise gotten. I could not watch them all, but here are some highlights. CM Plummer proposed an apartment inspection reform amendment, which would establish standards and inspection protocol for apartment buildings. She spoke to the deplorable conditions many Houstonians are stuck in due to negligent landlords, situations that are only exacerbated by COVID-19 and Winter Storm Uri. She described it as an apartment epidemic and said that many renters are actively in crisis. Councilmember Carolyn Evans Shabazz of District D spoke up in support and got very emotional describing the conditions she has witnessed at apartment complexes, saying that, quote, we are losing generations of children because of these living conditions. Many CMs, including Mayor Turner, expressed support but wanted to go through committee to turn into an ordinance that council can vote on. After CM Kamen reiterated that things like this take time, CM Plummer responded that, quote, with respect, things are different when you live in the situation you are in versus the situation that these renters are in, end quote. Time does matter. CM Kamen did not like that and says she fights like hell for her constituents. It was very testy. CM Plummer eventually withdrew the amendment so that it could go to the Housing and Community Affairs Committee, but she was very adamant that it get brought to council again within 90 days and promised to follow up vigorously. Councilmember Ed Pollard of District J proposed an amendment that increases the councilmember service funds, which are funds that they have available to use at their discretion, from $750,000 to $1 million each. CMs use these funds for all sorts of things, such as paying for HPD overtime patrols in their district, hiring lawn maintenance for overgrown lots, organizing cleanup efforts, spay and neuter events, and much, much more. The mayor opposed this amendment, but it still passed 10-7. It's super rare in our strong mayor system for Mayor Turner to lose a vote, so that was cool. Councilmember at large Sally Alcorn proposed an amendment that will pay for a pilot compost program in 3 neighborhoods, and it passed too. It would be pretty cool if that turned into a citywide thing. CM Alcorn also proposed an amendment to allocate $500,000 to BARC for up to 3 spay and neuter events, which is good, but not super sexy. However, Councilmember Dave Martin of District E said he opposed this amendment because he thinks this is what those councilmember service funds that we talked about earlier should be used for. So then Councilmember Robert Gallegos of District I spoke up to say that only 5 out of the 11 council districts have a stray issue and to count yourself lucky if you don't have it. He asked why it's fair for them to have to use their funds for this when others do not. And I think that's a pretty good point. This amendment passed. Councilmember Amy Peck of District A had the most proposed amendments this year, around 40. That's right, 40. Many of them were referred to committees, such as a suite of library initiatives and trash collection ideas. To be honest, this is when I started zoning out hard on amendments. One can only take so much. Okay, finally, some non-budget stuff. The budget took up like 95% of the meeting, but there was other stuff too, so here are a few highlights. Agenda item 8 approved the purchase of a clarifier scum screen for Houston Public Works. And you know, we could all just use a little scum screening, am I right? Agenda items 12 and 13 approved the tax credit and construction of Temenos affordable housing units in District D, which is what that public hearing was for last week. Agenda item 32 pays for sanitary sewer robotic inspection and cleaning. Robots. Most CMs passed during the pop-off section, which I was glad for. Mayor Turner closed the meeting by saying that the firefighters plan to seek voter approval of a charter amendment that would force the city into binding arbitration to resolve their pay issue is a bad idea. He said that, quote, everything we have done today is just not enough. The union should put the interest of the city ahead of just themselves, end quote. I kind of wish the final note of the meeting wasn't Mayor Turner calling firefighters selfish, but here we are. It was a long day, I suppose. And I do have a few final thoughts on the budget process. This year's budget process was disappointing and personally pretty unfulfilling. The budget workshops and public hearing took place during regular working hours, making it difficult for many to participate. At the public hearing, during which many callers expressed support for police fund reallocation to public health and community care, Mayor Turner told us that community members at Super Neighborhood and Positive Interaction Programs, or PIP meetings, are pro-police, and they must be taken into account as well. It's just super frustrating to make a large effort to engage with the city on their terms, doing what they told us we should do, to then hear that we should have attended different meetings, and those voices could potentially be listened to above ours. I feel certain that if Houston's administration had told budget-interested citizens to attend Super Neighborhood and PIP meetings to express budget concerns, they would have. We also just can't ignore that PIP meetings are run by HPD and will obviously lean pro-police, and that Super Neighborhood meetings are largely populated with homeowners who are already more privileged and experience more advantage than many, and perhaps even most. On top of that, we had no clear access to proposed budget amendments unless CMs themselves published them, which of course is only a small slice. Even while preparing these notes, I can't find a resource to reference. I emailed CM Martin's office, he's the chair of the Budget and Fiscal Affairs Committee, and he presided over the budget workshops to see if they could provide a resource on budget amendments, and I received an out-of-office reply. I also know that this was just due to scheduling because Monday was a holiday, but I thought that it was not good to have the final public comment session before the budget vote happened the same day as the budget vote. It just didn't seem like there was enough time for callers to get their arrears in gear to call in, but also for council members to process what was being said. I really would have appreciated it if those had remained in two separate days. And again, I know that was a scheduling issue, but just going forward. It's possible to responsibly engage citizens in a budget process, and I believe that we have shown this year that we are willing to participate. I hope that next year the city makes an effort to be more inclusive and responsive. If you tell us to attend budget workshops, please make some available on weekends or after working hours. We can attend Super Neighborhood and PIP meetings going forward, but it would have been nice to know in advance that concerns expressed there could outweigh those expressed at city-advertised budget outreach events. It is possible to conduct virtual and thereby extremely accessible budget town halls, and I know this is possible because I attended one put on by Harris County several months ago. And finally, I am just really proud of everyone who interacted with the city during this budget process because it was not easy. And that's it. That was the meeting. I have to thank all of our Patreon supporters, and we have some new ones to mention this week. Thank you, Farrell Sharp, Rosalind Velasquez, and Taylor Scott. Your support is appreciated, and your appreciation is appreciated. The Patreon is patreon.com/EmilyTakeNotes, and if you're able, we really appreciate it. You can find resources for this episode, including where to watch city council meetings and how to find your city council member, in the show notes. This week's episode was recorded by and has music from Joe Wozni. It is produced by Connor Clifton. That's it for this week. I am Emily Hines, and I thank you for listening.